You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
Hey! What's your name?
Aaron.
Tiff. So you're Mac, right?
So?
So you're the first paperboy around here. Who was it?
A boy. You must be the Brandman kid.
KJ.
My dad says you people own everything.
You people?
She's new.
All right, Big Mac. Let's go.
I'm not gonna, like, bite you or something.
What is that? Why does the sky look like that?
Move, move, move! Let's get out of here!
Hey! Who's there?
What are you doing in my house?
What are you doing in my house?
I live here.
No, I live here.
That's her. Holy shit.
This is a psychotic break. 12-year-old version of yourself broke into your house with her punk friends?
If that really is future you, maybe she can call someone.
Who's she gonna call?
Time travel 911?
Do you want to call 911?
Oh, good lord, there are future robots.
We need help. I might know someone.
Your girls traveled out of their time. That's a capital offense. You're targets now.
It's nice knowing you, I guess.
We can't just give up.
You don't know who you're about to become.
Future me will know how to get us home.
You have no idea what's at stake here.
Yeah, it's the fate of humanity. I get it.
This, right here, is the end of the universe.
We're paper girls, so we stick together.
The future you is not all that bad.
She did give you that rad shirt, which says dumb on it.
Welcome to a hazy shade of the Periodic Table of Awesome.
in the greatest
purpline
of colors. Is it blue? Is it
so
purple?
Much pink?
Pink. Jesus. Okay.
There's so many colors, much like the comic book that this has been based on, but most of them are pink.
Yeah.
Pink. Anyway,
I had a bit of a look at it.
It teaches you to fear the pink cloud.
All hail the glow cloud.
Because Peter and I, are you thinking what I'm thinking, Peter?
Yeah, we literally just saw a trailer for a movie about a pink cloud called The Pink Cloud. It's not this series, so.
No.
Well, weird. Maybe they're taking their cues from the visual metaphors for big bad evil that comic book films do take, which is, oh no, a giant turbulent thing in the sky is threatening all of mankind and we must destroy it.
Well, look out, light pillar going up into the sky. Must be the end of the film.
I think they jumped the shark when they remade The Day the Earth Stood Still and they just turned it into a giant cloud.
I was more angry about Rise of the Silver Surfer or whatever it is, where they turned Galactus, a giant purple planet-eating dude, into a fucking cloud.
Well, clouds are easy.
Green Lantern had a cloud too.
Angry orange cloud.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll
clearly
get like,
there is a rise of nope.
Nope
is all about a cloud.
In 50 to 100 years, it's probably going to be seeming very prophetic because suddenly the cloud will be the big bad. Like we're saving everything to the cloud. Eventually, we'll upload our consciousness to the cloud.
Oh,
and suddenly
my God.
We will become the cloud, and we will just drift around in space and attack other planets. And consume their intelligence.
I wrote a ticker joke about this, but I thought no, that's too fucking esoteric. I won't make a joke about cloud computing being the big bad guy, but you've just dived straight into it. What the fuck?
If I'm going to swim in this narrative, I'm definitely going to do backstroke. And
it's the Illuminati, you guys. It's all about the clouds. Forget triangles. Clouds is where it's at.
Clouds are where it's at. It's none of this. It's all this.
Meanwhile, I saw Nope, and I thought that was pretty good. Like, you know, it was that weird thing. It's like, I saw Nope. What did you think? Yep. Like it. It's good.
Yes.
I'm down for it.
Anyway, what are we talking about tonight?
We're talking about Paper Girls.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about. The new series on Amazon Prime.
Funnily enough, wasn't an origami fetish series that I had been promised. Peter, you promised me that it was an origami fetish series, and it just wasn't.
Anyone promise you that, Dion?
Yeah, she's got no comment.
Yeah, you did. I distinctly remember that conversation. Could have been a dream. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not standing in the way of whatever your desires are.
Was Ronald Reagan in your dream, Dion?
Twice.
Looking forward to talking to that bit about that bit. Wow.
Yeah.
So the funny thing is, I actually it's now been a little while since I watched this because I watched it as soon as it came out, which feels like ages ago. Lots has happened in that time.
Well, I crammed it very quickly, so. If there's balance on this, you've got a long and considered review, and I just smashed it as hard as I could and haven't really had time to process it. So
I feel like Jill and I are somewhere in between. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, right.
Yeah, I watched it on flights over the weekend.
Oh, no. Whereas I've spaced it out over the past couple of weeks. Or thereabouts.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah.
You know, taking each bit as it came and then going, oh, Jason Matsoukas is in this. That's weird.
Yes. Yep. Yes. And not, as you quite rightly put in the ticker there, Quinny, not playing a crazy weirdo, which made me uncomfortable to say the least.
Yeah. I was like, you've hired Matsoukas, you get Matsoukas. So why are you not using your Matsoukas properly?
Yeah. Weirdo, but not super crazy.
Yeah.
It'd be like hiring Arnold Schwarzenegger and making him do a think piece about chess.
Oh, I'd watch that.
Yeah.
What if he was in the Queen's Gambit?
No, he's in the sequel, the King's Gambit.
Checkmate.
I will break you. I don't know how we got here.
Okay, let's stop. Let's go back in time.
All throughout this podcast, just keep in mind one thing. What would future you think of what you're saying right now?
Future me would say cringe or whatever, like the 20-year equivalent would be.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
Rolf Lamau.
As a matter of interest.
Roar.
I'm just going to dab.
No!
If you start flossing, we're done. That's the end of this fucking show.
Yeah. Everyone should floss every day. I don't know what you're
I'm flossing right now.
Otherwise, your dentist will look at you with sad, disappointed eyes, and you have to avoid
My dentist
that.
Is literally a dentist called Dr. Thanos. It is the greatest dentist of all time.
What?
I love how he just looks at you and goes, Quinny.
Like, his teeth are just sparkling.
Half my teeth are gone. Oh.
Dr. Thanos, do you think he gets any of the jokes? Any of the references?
Every single week. He's based in Dulwich Hill, literally a doctor called Dr. Thanos. And I was like, I need to get my teeth done by him.
Google him after the show.
Yeah, yeah. So the question I've been trying to ask for some time is, how many of you have read the comic? Any of you?
Me!
Well done.
Yay.
What did you think of it?
It's extremely different to the TV show.
Right.
Very different.
Like different good or different, like different better or different?
Different of it's like, oh, okay, yeah, very similar. And then bam, completely.
Right.
I'm curious leaves the comic storyline.
So it's like Walking Dead.
Oh, as in the series just diverts completely.
Yep.
Right. So like the Walking Dead did the same sort of thing, which is like, it's kind of following along in the first season. And then it just goes, whoa. Right. Okay. Yeah. So which one is his superior intellect?
What do you mean?
No, I mean like it's like the joke is like ours is the superior intellect. Like which is the better one in your estimation?
They both have their own thing.
Get off the fucking fence, Jill. Come on.
The comic.
Without getting spoilery, can you just estimate for me like which episode it veers?
As soon as they meet future Erin, that's when it changes.
That's quite quick.
That's the first episode.
Yeah. I love basically, they've taken a concept and done something else with it.
So is this a bit like Preacher, where you know they've taken something from a comic book and either extended something out for an extraordinarily long period of time to fill a lot more space, or compressed shit crazily to try and do it by budget?
Former, but I would say instead of like stretching out the concept, they've dumbed down the concept.
Oh.
That's interesting, because I got
really diluted it.
I got a real hard dumbed down vibe of some of this TV show in that sense, where I'm kind of like, this is kind of, you know, Ugg boots and soy frappuccino of what I was expecting, which is okay.
Yeah.
With a lot more swearing than I was expecting.
Oh, there's plenty of swearing in the book.
Okay. I have many thoughts.
These
many
girls are just
this.
As foul mouthed in the comic, if not more so.
Okay. Oh, that's good.
I don't mind that. I like
Which is interesting, because in a comic, I feel like that may kind of sit in a certain place, because you know, a comic's aimed at a certain audience or whatever. Mm-hmm. But when you put it into a TV series and you have actual girls of that age, or approximating that age, mm-hmm. And you see it happening, you kind of go, that's a weird thing. I do believe that young lady just called somebody a cunt.
Okay. And she was, and it's not an Australian television show. Interesting.
Exactly.
Yeah. Fabulous. Like,
this is going to get the censors in America angry.
Yes. 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 Okay. Shall we have a quick synopsis as to what it's about? Because I know a bunch of people in our chat have said that they haven't done the homework. So,
okay.
Yeah, so I think we do need to be a little bit more descriptive as to what this is about, so that people can really kind of judge what we're talking about.
So, Peter, take
can
it
I
away.
Have
you're
some
doing
music,
this.
Maestro?
No, sorry, throwing Peter under the bus. She said she was going to do it, but not this time.
Not this time. Specific about that.
Yeah, one day. If you all like subscribe and post your emotes and everything, eventually Peter will do a synopsis. It's going to be amazing. Paper Girls follows four young girls who, while out delivering papers during the dark morning hours after Halloween in 1988, become unwittingly caught in a conflict between warring factions of time travelers, sending them on an adventure through time that will save the world. As they travel between time periods, they encounter future versions of themselves and must choose to embrace or reject their fate, and somebody will die. And there'll be a robot, and then there'll be people who smoke and swear. I kind of went off script on that last bit. I was just like having fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm also enjoying the music.
Yeah, who doesn't like New Order?
Okay. I have a question.
Yes.
Who is this show aimed for?
Really good question.
This is the thing that I kept coming back to as I watched all the way through it. I'm like, who the fuck is the audience of this?
When I watched the trailer, I thought I was the audience.
Yeah,
the trailer, same. I thought so too. Mm. Who do you think? Like, or is it?
Well, because, so I had actually no idea that this was a comic. When I saw the trailer, and I was like, Ali Wong, she's great. This looks like so much fun. Like, you know, girls, time travel, you know, fun adventures, lightning in the sky. Awesome. Fun ingredients. Like, it looks super fun. And I really like Ali Wong. I think she's terrific. Like, she's funny and interesting in this. I kind of thought it was like, you know, what if we did a Stranger Things-ish thing, but, you know, for people who remember being young girls in roughly around that era.
Yeah. I want to say it's the same audience as Stranger Things, but the show just doesn't quite have the same impact as Stranger
It doesn't. I don't think it's wanting to do what Stranger Things does, which is play on all your nostalgia. This one is not trying to nostalgia mine. It's trying to.
No, but it has the same sort of like sci-fi elements, I feel.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look at colored sky in the background, kids on bikes. You know, adult themes, but is it scary or is it not scary?
A little bit supernatural, a little bit sci-fi.
Bad props and cosplay. Yeah.
Fun jokes about what we would have thought of the future.
Yeah.
If we knew what the future was going to be when we were 12.
Fucking impeccable product placement from Amazon related things.
Yep.
It's kind of like, oh, we could sell more. We can put some of that in.
Is
there.
That an Alexa?
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, it is.
Oh my God, let's write a joke about that.
Mm.
Do you reckon that was a note from one of the executives at Amazon? Look, we'll fund this, but you have to include a joke about Alexa. It's like, sure.
Okay.
Okay.
It had a lot more pterodactyls than I was expecting.
Oh, they're from the book.
5,000% more pterodactyls than I was expecting in a film, in a series.
Yeah, I mean, we can get to that. I had thoughts about
pterodactyls. Yeah, and I mean, that's probably, you know, spoilery bits for later on, but...
Mm. I'd say that my enjoyment of watching this series kind of follows a bit of a bell curve, you know? Like when I first started watching, I was like, Ali Wong, she's cool. You know, like that. Put some fun future jokes. And then kind of like it hits episode 5 and I was like, fuck, that escalated. Like we're on a ride now. This is like amazing. I've cried twice in just this one episode. Like what is going on? And then like from that point, I kind of like just go down like a little bit of a hill of like, oh, it's like nice to have some representation of teenage girls, but fuck, teenage girls are annoying, aren't they? It's like,
oh, I'm so glad you said that.
And complain a lot. and then pterodactyls.
Yeah. See, when you said your bell curve, I assumed that it was like not so great, good in the middle and then tapered off at the end. But I'm feeling like it's almost like along and then down and then back up.
I don't know, because at the beginning I was kind of like, she's... And it wasn't until episode 5 that I was like, wow, that has really like escalated. Like I'm super interested. It's taken a turn I didn't think it would take. I'm on a ride now. And then the ride wasn't as ridey as I expected from that point.
Yeah, okay. Because for a little while there, I was watching it going, huh. Like I was kind of watching it all, especially in the first episode as it sort of started to play out. And I was a little bit like, eh. And then, it takes a little bit of a turn. You're like, okay, maybe this was all the point. And then towards the end of that, I was like, I'm still not sure what's going on here. Is this intentionally bad? Is it not good? Is it actually great? Have I missed something?
Yeah, I had trouble trying to pinpoint the things that I actually enjoyed about the show. But the thing that did keep me watching was the relationships developing between the girls. And I think that was what I really became invested in, is the four of them you know, learning about each other and trying to tolerate each other, because honestly, they weren't really friends to set out with. It just sort of like they've all been thrust into a situation that they've got no control over. And how do you
imagine if you,
how do you manage that with the people around you?
Yeah. Imagine if you worked at like a job, like a fast food, like worked at McDonald's, and suddenly you had to, you're in this situation with everyone you worked with and you only worked there for like a day or even an hour. Like, cool, great. Can't wait to have these massive life-changing things with people that I barely know.
Yeah.
Which is why I was like, the premise is a bit weird.
Yeah.
Also, you know,
I think in a way that kind of avoids some of the Stranger Things comparisons, because it's not a bunch of good buddies who go off and have adventures together. This is actually a bunch of people who don't know anything about each other and actually in a lot of cases are untrustworthy or hate
and have made some towards assumptions.
Yeah. You know, and some of them are really fucking difficult to get on board with. Like, and I gotta tell you, I struggled. I had to really force myself to keep going, because a lot of the characters, especially those four central characters, I found really dislikable a lot of the time. Mm. Like Mac, who I know has got a big front up and everything and is continually trying to, you know, keep people at a distance. I know, I get it. I get what you're doing. But at the same time, I find it fucking hard to give a shit. Like, see, you're...
I didn't have necessarily a problem liking the characters, although I fully understand what you're saying about Mac, because I feel like the character was 100% designed to make you feel like that.
Yeah.
For me, it was more, yes, teenage girls are annoying, accurate depiction of being a teenage girl. But I felt like in the second half of the series, there was too much reliance on creating conflict out of a lack of communication between the girls, which really kind of impeded you from going on the very relevant and separate character arcs they were each going on, because all of the conflict was created from them just being like pissy teenage girls and huffing at each other and not talking to each other. And that is what kind of annoyed me. It's not that I didn't like the characters. I got a little bit irritated by the repeated conflict of the audience knows something and that character knows something, but oh, she's not going to tell the other character and now they're going to fight about it. but that was like almost every conflict between the characters from episode 6 to 10. And that is what kind of ended up giving me the irrits. A little bit. I thought Mac had a really interesting arc, actually.
Oh, she does. Yes.
Yeah. I think I enjoyed her story and KJ's story the most.
Yeah. And we'll talk about more of that in the spoilery bit. But, yeah, I agree. Sure. I do think they've got the most interesting arc. Tiff, sits in a difficult position of being kind of annoying for a lot of it. And so much of it is finding out about who they are when they're, you know, as an adult. A lot of the storylines and everything kind of revolve around the time travel aspect where they go from 1988 to 2019 or 2002, is it?
I can't remember. 2019.
Yeah, there's a few skip arounds.
There's a couple of different periods.
Then they go to 1999.
99, that's the one. Yeah, I couldn't remember where it was. But, yeah, so you've got these sort of different time periods that they meet their older versions of themselves and what they think of themselves when they get older.
Mm.
And sometimes you're like, oh, okay, yeah, that's really interesting. And like KJ's story, I thought was fascinating. Like that's a story that I've never seen explored anywhere else. And I love the idea. But yeah, a couple of the others, you're kind of like,
I feel like it's more of a character study than, than a sci-fi heavy show. Like it's character study with sci-fi tropes chucked in there. So like, what you think you're going to be when you grow up compared to how you actually turn out and confronting that and then having to deal with it. And then also with relationships that you're building along the way.
But also with giant robots and nanobots and pterodactyls.
I mean, is it a robot? Yeah. It's not a robot. It's like a
mecha.
A mecha ship.
Yeah, but
like
I mean,
it's a mecha time travel ship. It's not a robot.
I think that was the stuff that didn't kind of gel. Like, I like the character study. Like, it's an interesting concept, which is like, what would your younger self think about your older self if you got to have a chat to them because of, I don't know, science fiction reasons?
Yeah.
But the
Pink
stuff.
Cloud.
Yeah. The stuff that kind of annoyed me and aggravated me was all that other science fiction shit around it. I was just like, really? But why?
Yeah.
Oh.
But wow.
And I do feel like the sci-fi elements of it are some of the bits that actually feel kind of the less thought out and the most deus ex-y.
Unfortunately, in the comic book, the science fiction elements are the stronger parts of the story. And the character stuff is like, you know, it's more hand in hand. So for me, it's kind of disappointing to watch this show and compare it to the comic because it is definitely a watered down version of what's in there. It kind of feels like the screenwriters that developed the series were like, oh, our audience is too dumb to understand what we're going to, like, what was in the comic book. So let's just simplify this as much as possible. And it unfortunately has really suffered for it, because all of the shit that's in the comic would be phenomenal to see in a TV show. Like, it would just take it to the next level of being like super extra, really sci-fi. And I don't know if this is suffering from the burnout that we're seeing in production, where companies are just churning out content to meet demand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a good
possibly
point.
But I gotta tell you, I'm gonna put some cards on the table here.
Yeah,
I actually thought it was a bit shit. Like,
fair enough.
I thought it was oddly cheap. Mm-hmm. I thought it had the production values of a kid's afternoon TV show at times.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the reason that I keep on having the thought of who is this aimed at is, mm-hmm, if you've budgeted this show aimed at, you know, that kind of tween audience, that would explain why, you know, so often it looks a little bit tacky and a little bit cheap and a little bit neon lit and a bit like your mecha is rendered, you know, one level below where it should be, all that kind of shit.
Honestly, don't think an actual tween would be able to connect with the story.
They're too close to being 12 to kind of connect to that emotionally. The era that we're talking about isn't something that they would connect to either. They're not close enough to being in their 40s to connect to that end of it.
Yeah.
So it's like, they'd be falling through a massive gap
in
the plot.
And as a 40-something-year-old watching it, I kept on feeling like I'm watching a cheap, tacky sort of, and I'm sorry to use that word, tacky.
Secret Life of Alex Mack.
Yeah, it's got a bit of that about it. I'm watching that and it feels a bit direct-to-video or shot on, you know, cheap 90s video. But also the costumes for the science fiction stuff all looked really fucking terrible.
I will say, though, that Grandfather, Jason Mendoza's character, does wear that outfit in the comic book and does look like a slob. So that was lifted straight from the pages.
Fair enough.
Which is cool. And yeah, I think there is something that you can do in
just
a comic book.
Weird, but then when you put him with everyone else around him who is in sci-fi outfits that are extremely ill-fitting, it doesn't, you don't get that disparity.
Yeah.
It just felt a bit cheap.
Yeah.
Like, across everything, especially, you know, when you match it with the, oh no, pink sky, which is like, oh, this is just a wash. You just put a wash over this shit.
The pink cloud towards the end that was only visible from behind the shed, but perspective looked like it was further out into the sky, pissed me off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a bad bit of compositing.
Is the cloud
a special effect
just above our heads here, or is it in the distance? Because I can't tell.
Yeah.
Look, here's the thing. Like, if I'm like super into like where the plot is taking me, particularly in sci-fi, because we've all watched a lot of low to medium budget sci-fi, and we're all willing to adjust our suspension of it. Like, just because the era of television now has served us a lot of high budget stuff. Like, we've all been there. We've all watched early season Stargate. Like, we've all watched Farscape. Like, we're willing to suspend our disbelief for, like, a sci-fi story.
Feel more believable.
If I feel more fully rounded.
Well, the problem is, if you're not in the world, like, if you haven't committed to the world, then all of the low-budget stuff and like, shit pterodactyls and that kind of thing I'm going to really, aside from like if you're in the world, you might be like, eh, that's a bit shit. But like, when you're not in the world, you're like, oh, this is making me angry now. If you don't have the budget for a pterodactyl, just don't have a pterodactyl. That's
which makes me sort of somewhat like, bringing on that, like, this is Brian K. Vaughan, another one of Brian K. Vaughan's properties that has been translated into the live action kind of realm. And it makes me even more concerned for Saga.
Same.
Which is just that thing like, you know, and, you know, unfortunately, Why the Last Man didn't, you know, go anywhere after the first season because it got really boring, even though, you know, we talked about that. Like the rest of it, I haven't bothered finishing it off, but that just quietly went away. Mm-hmm. And now this one, it's like, oh, and then like, oh, we might make Saga. It's like, oh, please don't. Like, I mean, you need way more fucking money.
Saga has been a property that was purchased a very long time ago. And so I have not heard anything more about any proposed production for that. But I would be very concerned because that is extremely alien, prosthetic, heavy looking kind of thing. It's way more sci-fi. Well, actually, no. It's on par with Paper Girls in terms of sci-fi comic book-wise. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's got a very distinct visual style that would be so easy to fuck up. So easy.
I look at this as something comparable. Like, there are a few things that have come out in recent years that I would say, you know, maybe in the same vein of a network going, what's a good property? That's a comic book. Let's grab it. Let's adapt it. And we get things like Sweet Tooth, which, you know, was quite successful. And this to me feels more like the kind of stuff that we got out of Mark Miller, Jupiter Ascending and stuff like that, where it was, you know, these things where, yes, you're doing comic book, you're doing superhero, but you're not doing it with enough budget or enough nous to actually stick with what your source material is. Where you kind of take an idea and then you veer away from it because you're going to the cheaper way. And the cheaper way is to have a bunch of people running around people's backyards and having interpersonal dramas because, you know, let's take a leaf out of the CW and make sure that nobody talks about what the fuck they're actually thinking. Yeah. And that to me is where this feels. And I can see a different version of this as a film that has a budget, that has a clear idea as to what it's doing, that you know, hits on the right audience and is a great story. I don't think this is the version of that, though.
No.
This one doesn't know whether it's a kid's show. Because I was watching it. Sorry, and I'm talking a lot.
No,
I was watching it and I was sort of tootling along watching it and feeling like, I feel like I'm watching a kid's afternoon TV show, and then somebody called somebody you can't know it.
It's like I'm waiting for the villains in rubber suits a la Power Rangers, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be like... I would watch Power Rangers if they busted out the C-bomb.
Is it wrong that I kind of was watching this and thought about all of these villains from the future, like sort of like cousins to the villains from Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey?
Yes.
It's like, it's very specifically weird costumes from the future that don't work, but they all act as though it's normal. And I was just like, it's all very strange.
Peter, you had something you wanted to add, I could tell.
Oh, no, I was just going to say that I do appreciate that a decent percentage of one of the episodes was just dedicated to them trying to figure out how to use a tampon. Like, you know, you don't see that much in television.
No, I enjoyed that.
And wasn't an unrealistic depiction of how, like, if there was no adult around to explain to you what to do, how that would have gone down.
Yeah.
Four girls, all of them going, have you? Fuck.
Yep.
How does
that? Yeah, right.
Yeah, like, there were good things and interesting, like, lots of interesting ideas in it. But unfortunately, I think the way that they put it together all comes down to the thing that was mentioned earlier, we're all talking about, which is, who is this for?
Yeah.
What is it for? Because, you know, it's set about kids in the 80s and then adults in their 40s and the differences between the two, yet it's very definitely not aimed at 40-year-old people who are going to be watching it because it doesn't connect with either of those two groups.
Well, and sometimes
I would argue that the 40-year-old women that are into pop culture would probably find something about it, because those, well, I wasn't 12 in 1988, but, you know, close enough. I can relate to being a kid from that time. Yeah. But, like, also, you know, the trials of being 12 years old and going through puberty and, you know, trying to connect with other girls and that kind of stuff. Like, that stuff's relatable. And then I enjoy the science fiction. But unfortunately, they just didn't really fully realize their concepts.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, yeah, like the people that we meet in those future years are Ali Wong's character, Aaron, as a 40-ish old year old Aaron. Old Aaron.
Old Aaron. Yeah, old.
And I don't think we really interact with any of the others at that stage, do we?
No.
And so you get one 40-year-old, you get one Tiff who is what?
21, I think.
Yeah. And so, yeah, there's this weird thing where it's, even for the older audience, I'm still not sure it knows who it's talking to.
Yeah.
Probably the 40-somethings, but then make a show aimed at 40-somethings.
Yeah.
Should we rate it?
Yes.
And then come back and talk about all of the spoilery bits?
Oh, yeah. Let me just, spoilery. I can't wait to unleash.
Well, then you should go first. What do you rate it, Jill?
Oh.
I haven't thought about it this far.
I was really hoping that it was going to be so much better than it was, which is so sad. I'm giving it 60 out of 100 because I did really like the human elements, the, you know, learning who these girls are and how they were connecting with each other and, you know, just trying to get through. I mean, like, what would you do if you were stuck with someone with the same capabilities as you in a very foreign world, like that kind of stuff? I dug that, but everything else was just so lackluster. Was really a shame.
Peter.
I'm going to give it, I did like the first half of the series. Like I was in for 5 episodes and then just kind of gradually slipped out. And to be honest, I, you know, if there ends up being a second season of it, I'll probably dip in again and just kind of, you know, see where they were going with it. But yeah, it got hard. It was hard for me to watch it to the end. I kind of had to make myself watch the last couple of episodes, and that's not great, is it? So I'm going to say 68, adding points for openly talking about tampons in pop culture and just because Ali Wong was great in the bits that she was in.
Yes.
And, like, all of the girls playing the kids were actually all terrific as well. Like, can't. Put much fault in the performances. It's the story structure and the overall production values that is the problem.
Just like they do in the book. As well.
Yeah, yeah. No, cool. You know, that's, you know, I don't want to. The cast has actually done a really good job with what they have, but the production values are just not. Didn't get me in.
Dion, do you have a numerical score for me?
50. 50. I don't have to justify anything. That's it.
Okay. Right.
50. No justification. No feedback. As you were. Please leave the room.
Okay. Yeah, I struggled to rate it because I wanted to really like it, but yeah, I fucking by the time I got to the end of that season, I was angry at it. I was like, stop fucking, like, if you're gonna do it properly. Stop doing your big set pieces as cheap and shit looking as you have. And then I looked back and thought, let's have a look at the first episode again. And this whole thing where they travel through time and they're in and it's badly shot, badly thought out, and it's confusing. Meaning that the whole thing that you're pinning it on, this time travel thing, doesn't give you a sense of place or time or anything. It just annoyed the shit out of me. So unfortunately for me, it's a 45.
I mean, that's low.
That is low.
And right, then fine. I retract mine. 30.
Leon, stop it.
I'm joking. I just can't.
I have to say, like, there are some things that we have reviewed that have been pretty awful that we haven't given below 50. Sure. This is like,
have you forgotten times that I've given scores of 10?
It's all justified.
I just say it's often on the whims of our moods as well.
Yeah, very much so.
And we're allowed to change Matrix, our minds.
Matrix 4 and Mortal Engines were definitely 10 and below from me. I can't remember what I gave Matrix 4, but it was a 6, I want to say. I can't remember, but it was under 10. Oof.
Look, I gave it 50 because I liked the interpersonal story relationship stuff. Quinny's more than justified to give it, what was it, 12?
45.
Oh, 45. Yeah. No, way higher than I thought.
Look, I don't want to be too harsh on it, but I kept on watching it thinking, I'm watching a shit afternoon TV show where the characters are swearing too much. and the graphics on the pterodactyls is making me angry. And
I mean, look, it's fair. If it actively made you angry, it is a fair rating.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Like, and I
should be a new rule that anything that actively makes us angry has to get below 50.
Yeah. Well, probably, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to like the lead character. I wanted to like Mac. I could see where characters were having interesting arcs, but they kept on doing fucking annoying dumb things and fighting with each other over stupid shit. And I was just like, ugh, be better. Anyway,
nobody is better at age 12.
No.
Yeah, true. Yeah,
that was actually pretty accurate. So.
that's where it came up for me with this is like it's relatable and understandable, and I can see why they're doing these as characters and what would they be like, you know, the older versions and going through life and having these, you know, growth stuff. But the real schism for me was like, well, then you've got all this science fiction stuff which does not seem to match with what's going on, whereas in theory it's a great kind of like, oh yeah, this is amazing, it's a show that's about this, but then it just drags you out of that by doing something else, and instead of kind of being fun and exciting and you never know what's going to happen, you just kind of end up going, can you just stop doing one or the other, because it's okay to follow this coming of age story with time travel, imagine if you met your older self. Why do we need to have this underground pterodactyl based father time and mother, whatever her name was, prior sister, like all that kind
prioress.
Of prioress, like all that kind of stuff, you know.
Yeah.
As well. That was why I was like, oh God.
Yeah. Okay. Let's get into a clip so that we can come back and talk about all of the spoilery stuff. And it'd be interesting to see who sticks around for that part, because I know a bunch of people in the chat haven't watched it, and now I'm wondering whether they're even going to want to. And I feel bad about that.
Oh, hey, cool, you came. Wow, have you been here all day?
Oh, no, I just came for the last one.
Why didn't you come sit with us?
I got here late, and I didn't want to bother you or anything. Sorry. You know.
Okay, so what did you think of it?
Well, you know, at first I was kind of confused, but then I stopped thinking about it so much, and I listened to the music and watched what was on the screen, and it was really beautiful.
It's a movie that you cannot come at logically. You just have to let the experience wash over you, you know?
When did you know?
Know what?
When did you know that you were someone who liked movies? Ones like these, I mean, how did you know that you were someone who felt this way about
movies? Well, the good news is that everybody moves at their own pace. And it can be overwhelming, but every person's journey is different, you know? And a lot of people are not gonna understand at first, but you find a movie that you really connect with and it feels really, 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 really great, you just try to listen to that. Hey, do you want to grab some coffee with us down the block? KJ and I, we're thinking about skipping Barry Lyndon anyway.
I gotta go.
Oh, see, that is the strength of the show, because it's interpersonal relationships and great, you know, subtle and nice and gentle ways of interaction and all that kind of stuff. And then, you know, next thing is robot laser pterodactyl space thing. And you're like,
have we got our spoiler thingy up?
I
thought, because I'd like to talk about that bit specifically, but also there's a part of me that's like,
right, then spoiler logos up, go for it, spoil away. If you haven't seen Paper Girls, get yourself a paper route and so you can afford your Amazon subscription and your new Alexa shipped to you via Amazon Prime, both the delivery company and the media empire.
We're not sponsored. I really wish we were, though, because that was a really smooth bit you just did there.
Yeah, Jeff Bezos doesn't need any more dicks to send into space. Give us some money.
I thought you were going to say, give us some dicks. And I was like,
we also don't need any more of those, thanks. No.
Too many dicks on the dance floor.
So, that story, I think, is the most successful one for me. The plot there is that KJ, when she goes to, is it 1999?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So she sees herself as a 20-year-old or thereabouts and finds out that she's gay. Now, what a beautiful concept to go, oh shit, I've seen my future and it is something I never expected.
Well, I think she already was kind of had an inkling that she felt that way.
Yeah, well, I would expect so. But at the same time, that may be one of those things where you're just like, hang on.
Because there was a moment where she met Mac's sister-in-law in the future in 2019. Yes. And the sister-in-law said, oh, are you one of Joe's girlfriends? And she said, oh, no, not a girlfriend, we're just friends. That's what first tipped me off that she might have been gay.
Okay, that makes more sense. That's not something I picked up on at the time, but yeah.
So it would be tricky for a 12-year-old in 1988 when, you know, we weren't quite so liberal as we are now with the whole gay is okay thing, would get a bit of a shock, even if she kind of had an inkling that she was having those kinds of feelings. You're only just starting to get those kinds of feelings when you're 12 anyway. So I kind of read that. Like I was on board with that journey for her character, I think.
Yeah. I enjoyed that part of the storytelling, and I also enjoyed Mac in 2019 reconnecting with her brother, who was older. That was, true. Yeah, that was a really lovely part of the story too.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yes, but you see, this is the question that I keep asking. Who enjoyed the science fiction parts the most?
Yeah, okay. So
I thought we were kind of like going somewhere when, like, you know, they did the big time travel thing, and then like the two main adult characters that we just kind of really connected with got wiped out. And I was like, oh, fuck, like I didn't expect this turn. What's going to happen now? And instead of further escalating, it just kind of leveled out from there. It was weird.
Fizzled real bad. And
also no more Ellie Wong.
No Ellie Wong.
Made it less enjoyable for me, who apparently has just a crush on Ellie Wong, I suppose.
Have you looked into the future and found out something new about yourself, Peter?
I mean, this is kind of one of the things too, where you're like, if you're attaching someone to these programs, you kind of expect them to be around, especially when you're not sure who to latch onto because there isn't anyone to be in there. And when it's sort of taken away in that weird, strange way, you're like, oh, okay, that's different. But why?
So what killed me a little bit about that whole scene was that Ali Wong did what she did, jump back in the mecca and essentially sacrifice herself to give the girls time to get away.
Yeah, and then they didn't go anywhere.
They just stayed exactly where they were when they were with Ali Wong.
Yep.
Slash
yep.
old Aaron.
Which
and continued to just stay there when they had multiple opportunities to get away.
Sounds like teenagers, really. like, quick, you must flee. Like, and they're like,
why did that even happen?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So, okay, go.
Done.
Okay.
Get someone to say.
Go for it, Jeff.
In the comic.
Hey. Gonk, gonk, no.
Yeah. Okay, so gonk. They first travel to 2016 because that was kind of when the book hit its popularity. Yeah. So it was the current time. They do go to the future. It's all very, very similar to that first episode where they meet those teenagers that talk funny and all that kind of stuff. But they don't ever explain why their faces are all messed up because these people get time travel cancer. So where the old watch don't because they're the ones that kind of invented it, the people that are trying to correct bad things that are happening in the timeline, who are the teenagers, get this timeline cancer. And it kind of is a little bit contagious in the sense of that the kids have time traveled, and so therefore that is why Mac has cancer, which they don't kind of explain in the story. It's kind of a separate thing, which is weird. But there's also a lot of weird stuff about clones. So they go, they meet future Aaron, then a clone of Aaron, who is a teenager and a time traveler and part of like the underground, like meets them in that time too. And then there's like lots of aliens and there's heaps of pterodactyls. And then they go back to 11,000 something BC and they're in like the past, and then that's when KJ gets her period, and so it's all a little bit different but kind of the same but also very different. There's no Larry, there's no farm with a mecha in a silo.
Yeah, like, see, there is an image of a mecha in there somewhere, but I get the impression
there
that
is, but it's this is all very completely different.
This is where, like, I mean, was it just me? Like, I was kind of getting confused as to what the fuck was going on in the television show, but the comic actually sounds like, oh, maybe they really dumbed down what they were putting into the television show.
They did. And they that dumbed makes it me down go, extremely.
And I was still more confused in the TV because maybe it was because I drifted off a little bit. Like, I was just kind of watching it, and then I'm like, no, what's happening? Wait.
There is so much more time travel and sci-fi stuff in the comic that they've just completely washed out of the TV show, tried to make it more linear and easier to understand, but at the same time made it extremely boring.
Yeah, right. And that, and maybe that was a budgetary slash,
yeah,
you know, production.
So you don't really get to understand the old watch as much or the teenagers as much and like the time war or anything like that.
I feel like there are a few times where they tried to give us an exposition dump here and there about, you know, what the old watch did and what the SDF or whatever they're called do and what they stand for. And then at the end, there's sort of another, you know, alternate information dump where it's like, ah, it turns out actually, no, they're the bad guys. And they're really undermining everything. And you're like, I don't care enough about this for this to be a heel turn. I don't know. Larry and his farm and everything. And like, there are a few things that I kind of thought, you're not that dumb, are you? Like, you know, if you go to 2019 and then you go back to 1999, then Larry's not going to fucking know you.
Yeah.
So why are you expecting him to know you? And they're like,
they were,
they didn't,
or I don't know.
They just didn't think that he was a trustworthy person.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, you're right. But it just it just felt weird. And
yeah,
there are a few times like that. And I wanted it to go bigger or go home. Like,
I really wish it had gone bigger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If
it had gotten to the level of, you know, the weirdness in the comic with, you know, like, clone Erin, slightly older than the 12-year-old Erin, but still a teenager, like, goes to 2016 and, like, confronts 12-year-old Erin and future Erin. And, like, with the time travel, there's, like, this weird thing that has enlarged some stuff that she was carrying through with her. So there's, like, gigantic kaiju-sized tardigrades battling in the city. And then they're like, oh, shit, we need to, like, kind of get rid of this so people don't see that there's stuff going on. And then, like, all kinds of weird stuff. And then they're like, oh, we were attacked by this monster. And they're like, no, not a monster. It was just a really big maggot that must have been in the food that I was carrying, and, like, all this other weird stuff. Just, like, weird, fun, tropey sci-fi, supernaturally kind of weird things.
We needed more Doom Patrol kind of themes going on through it.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it didn't have the budget. Like, whereas they had, like, we could do lots of these stories about characters relating to each other, but if you want anything that's a CGI, oh, no. No, pull that way back.
Yeah.
You know, let's focus
on what here's the thing. You don't have the budget for a pterodactyl. Just don't have the pterodactyl. I'm sorry, like, you don't have the budget for the monster, don't show the monster.
Or,
that's like a big bit. Like, I don't know if any of you watched Wolf Like Me, the Australian one in the end. And I kind of, like, enjoyed the series until the very end, where I was like, if you don't have the budget for the monster, just don't show the monster.
Yeah,
it would be more enjoyable just never seeing it.
Take the Steven Spielberg Falling Skies lesson and do all of your battles off camera.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
I wish we'd been doing this when that was released, Dion. That would have been a fun one.
I just would have loved to have watched Dion's reaction.
Oh, week to week, where I was like, God damn you.
Maybe we should do a drunk
a drunken cinema.
No.
A drunken cinema of Falling Skies, and Dion can just rant at us.
Just old man yells at screen. God damn this stupid fucking piece of shit. It's like, anyway.
So my recommendation would be try the comic maybe instead of the TV show.
So the TV show is a great advertisement for the comic.
Like,
I'm not even sure it's a great
advertisement
of,
like, what you're not even going to get.
Yeah, it's like, it's basically like, don't watch the TV show, buy the comic. Yeah, there we go. That's a good review. It's like, hey, Paper Girls is out. You should buy the comic.
Brian K. Vaughan is a wonderful writer, and Cliff Chang's artwork is fantastic. So yeah.
I'm more enthused to read the comic because it is a little bit crazy and has that a better sense of scale on it, and I can get across it. Because if Paper Girls gets renewed for season two, I'll be like, okay.
I'd be interested where they end up in season two, if they do go to 11,000 BC or whatever.
Yeah.
See, but
I don't know. But
I
can't. I can't expect this show to do anything as extreme as what they did in the books, though. So I think it's probably just going to be another tame second season.
I think if they'd done that as the stinger at the end of the first season.
Yeah.
You know, and had the girls stepping out of the pod and it being, you know, 11,000 BC.
More pterodactyls, more poorly CG pterodactyls.
Yeah, okay, you're right. Maybe that would have been a fucking nail in the coffin for it.
Get some Harryhausen stop motion out there.
I was watching it and I was thinking, who would read this comic? Like, if I'm watching the series, I was like, who would read this comic? It's tedious. Like, there's not enough interesting happening in this to be a good comic. What the how did this be? But now I'm realizing it's because the comic is actually a very different beast.
Yes. If you'd like to borrow the trade paperbacks, I've got the first three.
I would.
Oh no, that's none of this password sharing of books. we don't advocate for libraries around here. He can get his own subscription through Amazon Prime. You can get a 30-day trial to read Paper Girls.
Once again, we are not being sponsored. Why are you spruiking them so spectacularly?
The consciousness of Jeff Bezos is, you know, the power of Bezos compels me.
Oh, and also in the comic, Aaron does have weird dreams about Ronald Reagan. That's where that shit came from. That deep fake was really bad, though.
But this was fucking terrible.
This is one of those things
where I say, like, who is this really aimed for? Because no one who's a teenager is going to know who the fuck Ronald Reagan is. And I barely remember Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
I was watching
it.
Like,
I've seen good deep fake, but that was very, very bad deep fake.
Yeah. I was watching it and got to that bit and I was like, oh, what are we doing? Oh, oh no. This is a terrible fucking impersonator.
And it all feels like weirdly out of context in the TV show for some reason.
Speaking of what are we doing?
Because it doesn't feel like it's set in the 80s. Oh. And it doesn't feel like it's set in 1999. And it doesn't feel like, because the town never looks any fucking different.
Yes, that is true. It's all very visually. I just forgot what the word was I was going to say.
Same.
Ambiguous. Visually ambiguous, yeah.
Yeah. Dion?
Oh, no, the segue's gone now. I can't seamlessly.
We have to talk for another 10 minutes to find another one.
Yeah, I can't seamlessly move that in if I just wanted to talk about what are we doing next month?
We're going to work that out tonight, I think.
I believe we're going to have a discussion.
Look, I mean, there's exciting things coming.
Feel free to submit your requests ignore.
You've got Lord of the Rings, the Rings of Power. We're still watching She-Hulk. There's Cobra Kai Season 5. There's Handmaid's Tale.
Stop trying to make Cobra Kai happen.
Final season coming through. Andor is coming up.
I believe it's actually and/or.
Bad Batch season 2 is starting. Oh, fucking Hocus Pocus 2's coming out. But we will be starting off next Tuesday.
I've also got League of Super Pets.
Next Tuesday, we will be starting off with season 3, the full recap.
No!
No! Stop trying to make C happen!
Well, I mean, we could have a discussion about House of the Dragon, but I'm wondering how many episodes of that we should
talk about. Look, I mean, you think I was bad by giving Paper Girls a 50. House of the Dragon hits about a 25 for me because it's so boring. It is exactly the same. It is just season 9. It's the next season of Game of Thrones. And I thought, this is your
Matt
opportunity.
Matt Smith in a white wig.
Yeah, this is your opportunity to do something different. And in the first episode, they didn't have the theme and everything. And then they did a kind of a similar kind of theme at the end. I was like, okay, maybe they're trying to create a difference. And then the first thing.
Episode 2 opens up with the same music.
Same music and the same animation style. And I was like, fuck, this is doing nothing.
Oh no.
You're just shoveling, like, you know, it's kind of like, have all the houses in the world that don't
So it's not even a spin-off, it's just a continuation in the past.
Yeah, it's a prequel continuation exactly. It's like, oh, did you like the things about Game of Thrones that you liked about that made a lot of money, which we could do? We just do the same thing, just new characters. Same locations, same fucking dragon animations, same fucking, you know, oh, isn't this great? Are we going to talk about incest or are we just going to talk about like all this? It's just kind of like, cool. We're just trotting it out again.
I think it's past its time.
Yeah, it's jump the shark or jump the dragon, as we should say. Mm. Anyway, that's my quick review.
Yeah. I mean, there you go. No, I don't need to do it. Excellent.
We probably don't need to do that review.
Send us your emails. Send us your voicemails. Tell us what you'd like us to review.
See, technically speaking, we do have a placeholder for next Tuesday, which was For All Mankind. But I find that if we did it next Tuesday, it would be unfair on everyone who is supposed to watch 3 seasons of the hour-long episodes of For All Mankind.
You just feel like watch me.
Oh, no. If you want to go now.
Back to Jill.
I had to slow down on For All Mankind because the end of season two gave me some nightmares. So I've had to take a break at the beginning of season three.
Oh, no. I understand why, too. And I think, is it that specific thing?
Yes,
in space with the two spaceships?
You know what the thing is.
Yeah. I was kind of, yeah, when you're like, oh, that thing at season two, which gave me nightmares. I'm like, is it this thing? It's this thing, right? It's like, oh, God.
I have approximately 5 hours in every day where I could fit in watching.
That's only five episodes of For All Mankind, so you need at least ten a season.
Yeah, so how many? Well, I've got, 7 days? Oh, but two of those days are weekends. I reckon there's a strong chance I could binge three seasons.
Yeah, look, you know, what have we got?
Couldn't watch anything else, though.
The season one and two are 10 episodes, and season three is 9 episodes, so they're all an hour long.
Easy.
You know, that's 30 hours of TV. You got to punch through it. Like, I mean, also for the people who are, like, wanting to know
30 hours,
about
I could do that in 2 days.
Yeah, but it's the way that we do it. Oh, yeah. And Idris Elba's one. What was it? The
Beast.
3,000 Years of Longing, for fuck's sake.
I want to see that. That comes out on,
I do want to see that, yeah.
That comes out on Thursday.
Yeah.
There's a new Dangerous Liaisons coming out on Stan. So, you know, there's going to be a new smutty period drama for me to watch, so I'm excited about that.
I want to watch American Gigolo.
Yeah, I saw Freddie Kangaroo was talking about it.
John Bernthal,
the sequel to Deuce Bigelow? No, that's not what it is.
I don't think so.
But it is a sequel to the movie, American Gigolo.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a TV series that continuing on that character's into the 80s, so 70s, American Gigolo. Go out and see it. Richard Gere, go for it.
Okay, right. Not Deuce Bigelow, male Gigolo. I was like, fucking
no,
what?
It's a different, very different thing.
That already had a sequel. It was confused. Called Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo. And and then there was the third one they were trying to do, which was Deuce Bigelow, Juggalo, which was Insane Clown Posse related.
Or Deuce Bigelow Bungalow?
Deuce Bigelow Californian Bungalow.
or the Australian one where he turns into a serial killer and it's Deuce Bigelow in Belangalo.
I'm not going to laugh out of Peter. That's a good one.
Terrible. That's terrible.
I'm with it. I'm gonna make a poster for that and put it up.
Deuce Bigelow in Belangalo.
Just him going.
Our viewers laugh as much as we do. Because we think we're doing our own thing now.
Oh, dear. All right. Thank you, everyone. And thanks, everybody, in the chat for coming and keeping us company tonight. Can't wait to see what we're doing next month.
Yeah.
Stop giving Rob Schneider ideas. Shit. Pitch now. Oh dear. Yes. We're gonna go raid, aren't we, Quinny? Who are we gonna go raid?
Yeah, we'll go and raid Barjo. I think Barjo's always entertaining. We'll go and raid him, shall we?
Thanks, everyone. Have a good time. We'll put the schedule up soon.
Yeah.
Bye. We will indeed. Won't you please let me go? Words lie inside and hurt me so. I'm not the kind of life to tell you just what I want to. I'm not the kind that needs to tell you just what you want me to. I saw you this morning and thought that you might like to know. I received your message in for a few days ago. I understand every word that it
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.